kind of borderline.
Not unless they admit their intent,
Jack said.
And they're saying it was an accident.
The giantesses both straightened.
A talking sword? Gyalp said. Well now, that's interesting.
You sure I can't raise your chair for you again?
Grape offered.
I could run to the kitchen and get a stool. It's no trouble.
Honored hosts, Sam said, her voice shaky. Please put us gently and safely on the top of your table so we may barter with you.
Grape muttered unhappily, but she did as Sam asked. The giantess deposited us next to her fork and knife, which were roughly the same size as me. Her mug would have made a fine water tower for a rural town. I just hoped it wasn't named Boom Daddy.
So,
Grape plopped back in her chair.
You want freedom for the Thuan? You'll have to wait until our father gets home to negotiate terms. She is his prisoner, not ours.
She's a Valkyrie, of course,
Gyalp added.
Flew in our window last night. She refuses to show her true form. Thinks she can fool us by staying in that silly Thuan costume, but Dad is too clever for her.
Bummer, I said. Well, we tried.
Magnus, Sam chided. Gracious hosts, will you at least consent not to kill the Thuan until we've had a chance to speak with Garrod?
Gyalp shrugged.
Like I said, her fate is up to Dad. He might let her go if you surrendered yourselves in exchange, but I don't know. We need something spicy for the stew tonight.
Let's put a pin in that, I said.
Which is only an expression, Sam added hastily. By no means is my friend granting you permission to put a pin in anything, especially us.
Nice save, I told her. Sam gave me a, you're such an idiot look. I was getting used to that. Gyalp crossed her arms, forming a new mesa against her chest.
You said you also wanted to barter for a stolen weapon?
Yeah, I said. Something thunder godish, if you have it. Not that any particular thunder god is missing any particular weapon. Grape cackled.
Oh, we have something like that. Something that belongs to Thor himself.
Since Thor wasn't there to creatively cuss, Sam did the honors, muttering a few comments that I doubted her grandparents would approve of.
Those are just expressions, I added hastily. In no way was my friend giving you permission to do any of those rude and colorful things. Will you barter with us for the weapon you spoke of?
Of course, Gyalp grinned. In fact, I'd like to wrap up these negotiations quickly, since my sister and I have an appointment.
With hot frost giant twins, Grape said.
So we'll make you a fair deal, Gyalp continued. We'll give you Thor's weapon for that lovely talking sword. And we'll release the Thuan. I'm pretty sure Dad will be okay with that, as long as you give yourselves in exchange. You won't get a better deal than that.
That's hardly a deal, Sam growled.
Then you can refuse, Grape said, and leave in peace. It's all the same to us.
Jack thrummed indignantly, his runes glowing.
Magnus, you'd never give me up, right? We're friends. You're not like your dad, gonna toss me aside as soon as you see something you like better?
I thought about Loki's suggestion that I give the sword to my Uncle Randolph. At the time, I'd actually been tempted. Now, the idea seemed impossible, and only partly because the giantesses wanted to put us in a cage and have us for dinner. Jack had saved our lives at least twice now. I liked him, even if he did occasionally call me Senior. An alternative came to me. A bad idea, yes, but better than the giants' offer.
Jack, I said, hypothetically speaking, if I told these giantesses how we killed their sister, would that break the rules of guest etiquette?
What?
Gyalp cried. Jack's runes glowed a more cheerful shade of red.
No etiquette problem there, my friend, because that happened before we were guests here.
Okay, I smiled at the giantesses. We killed your sister. Big, ugly lady, trying to block the river and drown Thor? Yeah, she's dead now.
Lies!
Gyalp shot to her feet.
Puny humans, you could not possibly have killed our sister.
Actually, my sword flew up her nose and scrambled her brains. Grape howled in outrage.
I should have crushed you like bugs, cursed my lack of a stool and strategically placed ceiling spikes.
I'll admit, having two giantesses tower over me bellowing death threats was a wee bit unnerving. But Sam kept her cool. She pointed her axe accusingly at Grape.
So, you were trying to kill us just now.
Of course, you dolt!
Which violates the rules of hosts.
Who cares?
Grape cried.
Magnus's sword does, Sam said. Jack, did you hear that?
I sure did. I'd like to point out, though, that the effort required to kill these two giantesses might be too much.
Do it!
I hurled the sword. Jack spiraled upward, straight into Grape's right nostril and out her left. The giantess collapsed, shaking the room at 6.8 on the Richter scale. Gyalp stifled a scream. She covered her nose and mouth and stumbled around as Jack tried in vain to stab his way through her fingers.
Oh, this one is getting smart,
Jack yelled.
A little help over here?
Magnus!
Sam pushed the giantess's steak knife to the edge of the table until the blade extended like a diving board. I got what she wanted me to do. It was stupid crazy, but I didn't give myself time to reflect. I ran full tilt at the knife and jumped toward the end of the blade. Sam yelled,
Wait!
By then, I was already in midair. I landed on the knife, which catapulted upward as I dropped. The plan worked, sort of. I landed on the empty seat of the chair, which was not far enough down to kill me, but was enough to break my leg. Hooray! The pain drove a hot nail up the base of my spine. Gyalp got it worse. The spinning steak knife hit her in the chest. It didn't impale her. It didn't even go through her dress, but the poke was enough to make her yell. She lowered her hands, grabbing instinctively for her chest, which allowed Jack full access to her nose. A second later, Gyalp was lying dead on the floor next to her sister.
Magnus!
Sam lowered herself off the table and dropped next to me on the chair.
You fool! I wanted you to help me throw a salt shaker on the blade. I didn't expect you to jump on it yourself.
You're welcome, I grimaced. Also, ow!
Is it broken?
Yeah. Don't worry, I'm a fast healer. Give me an hour.
I don't think we have, Sam started to say.
From the next room, a deep voice boomed,
Girls, I'm home!
Chapter 55 I'm carried into battle by the 1st Dwarven Airborne Division. There's never a great time for Daddy Giant to come home. But when you're sitting in his dining room with your leg broken, the corpses of two of his daughters sprawled nearby, that's an especially bad time. Sam and I stared at each other as the giant's footsteps echoed louder and louder in the next chamber. Sam's expression said, I got nothing. I also had nothing. Which is exactly the sort of moment when you might welcome a dwarf, an elf, and a swan parachuting onto your chair. Blitzen and Hearth were lashed side by side in the harness, with Ganilla the waterfowl cradled in Hearthstone's arms. Blitzen pulled the steering toggles and executed a perfect landing. Behind him pooled the parachute, a swath of turquoise silk that exactly matched Blitz's suit. That was the only fact about his entrance that did not surprise me.
How?
I asked. Blitzen scoffed.
Why do you look so amazed? You distracted those giantesses long enough. I'd be a poor dwarf indeed if I couldn't rig a grappling hook, shoot a line from the window to the birdcage, shimmy across, free the swan, and use my emergency parachute to get down here.
Sam pinched her nose. You've had an emergency parachute this entire time?
Don't be silly,
Blitzen said.
Dwarves always carry emergency parachutes, don't you?
We'll talk about this later, I said. Right now...
Girls?
Called the giant from the next room. His speech sounded a little slurred.
Where are you?
I snapped my fingers. Come on, guys, options. Sam, can you and Ganilla camouflage us?
My hijab can only cover 2 people, Sam said. And Ganilla, the fact that she's still a swan might indicate she's too weak to change back to normal.
The swan honked.
I'll take that as a yes, Sam said. It could be a few hours.
Which we don't have. I looked at Hearth. Runestones?
No strength, he signed, though he hardly needed to tell me that. He was upright and conscious, but still looked like he'd been run over by an 8-legged horse.
Jack! I called to the sword. Where's Jack? From the table above us, the sword yelled,
Dude, what? I'm washing off in this goblet. Give a guy some privacy, huh?
Magnus, Sam said, you can't ask him to kill 3 giants in a row. That much effort really will kill you.
In the next room, the footsteps got louder. The giant sounded like he was stumbling.
Gyalp? Grape? I swear, if you're texting those frost giant boys again, I will wring your necks.
The floor, I decided. Get me to the floor.
Blitzen scooped me up, which almost made me black out from pain. He yelled,
Hang on!
And leaped from the chair, somehow managing to paraglide me down safely. By the time I regained my senses, Sam, Hearth, and his new pet swan were standing next to us, apparently having used the chair leg as a fire pole. I shivered with nausea. My face was slick with sweat, and my broken leg felt like 1 enormous open blister, but we had no time for minor concerns like my unbearable pain. Across the threshold of the dining room door, the shadows of the giant's feet got closer and darker, though they did seem to be weaving back and forth.
Blitzen, carry me under that door, I said. We have to intercept Gerard.
Excuse me?
Asked the dwarf.
You're strong. You're already holding me. Hurry!
Grumbling, he jogged toward the door, every bounce sending a stab of pain into the base of my skull. The parachute slithered behind us. Sam and Hearth followed, the swan honking unhappily in Hearthstone's arms. The doorknob started to turn. We ducked under the sill and charged out the other side, right between the giant's feet. I yelled, Hi, how you doing? Gerard stumbled back. I guess he hadn't been expecting to see a paratrooper dwarf carrying a human, followed by another human and an elf holding a swan. I wasn't prepared for what I saw either. For one thing, the room we entered was about half the size of the one we just left. By most standards, the hall would have been considered grand. The black marble floor gleamed. Rows of stone columns were interspersed with iron braziers, filled with burning coals like dozens of barbecue grills. But the ceilings were only about 25 feet tall. Even the door we'd come through was smaller on this side, though that made no sense. Squeezing back under the sill would be impossible. In fact, I didn't see how Gyalp or Grape could have fit through the doorway unless they changed size as they moved from room to room. Maybe that's what they did. Giants were shapeshifters. Magic and illusion were second nature to them. If I spent much more time here, I'd have to bring a large supply of motion sickness medicine and some 3D glasses. In front of us, Gerard was still staggering around, sloshing mead from his drinking horn.
"Who are you?"
he slurred.
"Guests," I called. "We have claimed guest rights."
I doubted those applied anymore, since we'd killed our hosts, but since my etiquette-minded sword was still in the next room, washing the nostril goo off his blade, nobody challenged me. Gerard frowned. He looked like he'd just come from a wild party at the Jotunheim Marquis, which was weird since the day was young. Giants apparently partied 24/7. He wore a rumpled mauve jacket, an untucked black dress shirt, striped slacks, and dress shoes that many patent leather animals had dyed to create. His dark hair was greased back, but springing up in unruly cowlicks. His face had a 3-day stubble. He reeked of fermented honey. The overall impression was less fashionable nightclub dude and more well-dressed wino. The weirdest thing about him was his size. I'm not going to say he was short. 20 feet tall is still good if you're looking for somebody to play point in the NBA or change those hard-to-reach light bulbs. But the guy was minuscule compared to his daughters, who were, of course, now dead. Gerard belched. Judging from his expression, he was making a mighty effort to form rational thoughts.
"If you're guests, why have you got my swan? And where are my daughters?"
Sam forced a laugh.
"Oh, those crazy girls? We were bartering with them for your swan."
"Yeah," I said. "Right now they're on the floor in the other room. They don't look so good." I mimed drinking from a bottle, which probably confused Hearthstone, as it looked like the sign for "I love you." Gerard seemed to get my meaning. His shoulders relaxed, as if the idea of his daughters passing out drunk on the floor was nothing to be concerned about.
"Well then," he said, "as long as they weren't entertaining those frost giant boys again."
"Nope, just us," I assured him. Blitzen grunted as he shifted me in his arms.
"Heavy."
Hearthstone, trying to keep up with the conversation, signed "I love you" at the giant.
"Oh, great, Gerard," Sam said. "We actually came here to bargain for Thor's weapon. Your daughters told us you have it."
Gerard glanced to his right. Against the far wall, almost hidden behind a column, was a human-sized iron door.
"And the weapon is behind that door," I guessed.
Gerard's eyes widened.
"What sorcery is this? How did you know that?"
"We want to barter for the weapon," I repeated.
In Hearthstone's arms, Ganilla honked irritably.
"And also for the freedom of this swan," Sam added.
"Ha!"
Gerard sloshed more mead from his drinking horn.
"I don't need anything you could offer, but perhaps you could melt, earn the weapon and the golden goose."
"The swan," I corrected.
"Whatever,"
said the giant. Blitzen whimpered.
"Heavy. Very heavy."
The pain in my leg made it hard to think. Every time Blitzen moved, I wanted to scream, but I tried to keep a clear head.
"What did you have in mind?" I asked the giant.
"Entertain me. Join me in a game."
"Like words with friends?"
"What? No, like catch."
He gestured disdainfully toward the dining room.
I have only daughters. They never want to play catch with me. I like playing catch. Play catch with me.
I glanced at Sam. I think he wants to play catch.
Bad idea, she murmured.
Survive 10 minutes,
Gerard said.
That's all I ask. Then I'll be happy.
Survive? I asked. A game of catch?
Good, so you agree.
He stumbled to the nearest brazier and scooped up a red-hot coal the size of an easy chair.
Go long!
Chapter 56. Never ask a dwarf to go long.
Run! I told Blitzen. Run! Run! Run!
Blitzen, who was still trailing the parachute, only managed a dazed stumble.
Heavy! Very heavy!
He wheezed again. We made it about 20 feet before Gerard yelled,
Catch!
The four of us ducked behind the nearest column as a coal cannonball slammed against it, burning a hole straight through the stone and spraying ash and sparks over our heads. The column groaned. Cracks spread all the way up to the ceiling.
Run more! Sam yelped.
We shambled across the hall as Gerard scooped coals and threw them with appalling accuracy. If he hadn't been drunk, we would have been in serious trouble. The next salvo set Blitzen's parachute on fire. Sam was able to cut it off with her axe, but we lost valuable time. Another chunk of flaming apocalypse blasted a crater in the floor next to us, singeing Ganilla's wings and Hearthstone's scarf. Sparks flew into Blitzen's eyes.
I'm blind!
He yelped.
I'll direct you! I shouted. Left! Left! Your other left!
Meanwhile, across the hall, Gerard was having a grand old time singing in Jotunese, staggering from brazier to brazier, occasionally dousing himself in mead.
Come on now, little guests. This is not how you play. You're supposed to catch the coals and throw them back.
I looked around desperately for exits. There was one other door on the wall directly across from the dining room, but it was too small to crawl under and too big to force open, not to mention barred with a tree trunk beam across iron brackets. For the first time since becoming an Inheri, I was annoyed that my super-quick healing wasn't super-quick enough. If we were going to die, I at least wanted to be standing on my own 2 feet. I glanced at the ceiling. Above the last column Gerard had hit, cracks spread across the roof. The column bowed, ready to snap. I remembered the first time my mom had made me set up our camping tent by myself. The poles had been a nightmare. Getting them to hold the roof required just the right balance of tension. But making them collapse, that was easy.
I've got an idea, I said. Blitzen, you're going to have to carry me a while longer, unless Sam...
No, said Sam.
I'm fine, Blitzen whimpered. I'm just great. I can almost see again.
Okay, everybody, I said. We're going to run toward the giant.
I didn't need sign language to read Hearth's expression.
Are you crazy?
The swan gave me the same look.
Just follow my lead, I said. It'll be fun.
Please, Sam begged. Don't let those words be carved on my tombstone.
I yelled at the giant.
Hey, Gerard, you throw like a folkvonger person.
What? Bah!
Gerard turned to scoop up another coal.
Straight at him, I told my friends. Go!
As the giant prepared to throw, I told Blitzen,
Right! Go right!
We all ducked behind the nearest pillar. Gerard's coal bored straight through it, spewing cinders and sending more cracks up the ceiling.
"Now left," I told my friends. "Toward him and up another row."
"What are you?"
Sam's eyes widened with understanding.
"Oh, gods, you really are crazy."
"Got a better idea?"
"Sadly, no."
We ran across Gerard's line of sight.
"Your daughters aren't drunk,"
I shouted.
"They're dead."
"What? No!"
Another coal cannonball hurtled toward us, hitting the nearest column with such force it collapsed into a pile of colossal stone lifesavers. The ceiling groaned. The cracks spread. We ran into the central aisle and I yelled, "Missed again!" Gerard howled in fury. He tossed aside his drinking horn so he could scoop coals with both hands. Fortunately for us, his anger and his double-handed throwing made his aim terrible. We jogged around him, weaving from column to column as he splattered coal everywhere, tipping over braziers, breaking pillars. I insulted Gerard's suit, his haircut, his patent leather shoes. Finally, the giant tossed an entire brazier at us, taking out the last support pillar on his side of the room.
"Retreat!" I told Blitzen.
"Go! Now!"
Poor Blitzen huffed and wheezed. We ran for the far wall as Gerard shouted,
"Cowards! I will kill you!"
He easily could have run after us and caught us, but the giant's drunken mind was still thinking in terms of projectile weapons. He searched around him for more coals as the ceiling above him crumbled. Too late, he realized what was happening. He looked up and screamed as half the room collapsed on top of him, burying Gerard under 1,000 tons of rock. The next thing I knew, I was on the floor in a whiteout of dust and debris, trying my best to cough up my lungs. Slowly, the air cleared. A few feet away, Sam sat cross-legged, also hacking and gasping, looking like she'd been rolled in flour.
"Blitzen!"
I called.
"Harth!"
I was so worried about them, I forgot about my broken leg. I tried to stand, and was surprised to find that I could. The leg still throbbed with agony, but it held my weight. Blitzen came stumbling out of a dust cloud.
"Present,"
he squeaked. His suit was ruined. His hair and beard had gone prematurely gray with plaster. I tackled him in a hug.
"You," I said, "are the strongest, most amazing dwarf ever."
"Okay, kid, okay."
He patted my arm.
"Where's Hearthstone? Hearth!"
In moments like that, we forgot that yelling Hearthstone's name wasn't really helpful.
"Here he is,"
Sam called, brushing some rubble off the fallen elf.
"I think he's okay."
"Thank Odin!"
Blitz started forward but almost fell.
"Whoa there!"
I propped him against one of the remaining columns. "Just rest for a sec. I'll be right back." I jogged over to Sam and helped her extract Hearthstone from the wreckage. His hair was smoldering, but otherwise he looked all right. We pulled him to his feet. Immediately, he started scolding me in sign language.
"Stupid? Trying to kill us?"
It took me a second to realize he wasn't holding the swan.
"Wait,"
I said. "Where's Ganilla?" Behind me, Blitzen yelped. I turned and discovered a hostage situation in progress.
"I'm right here,"
Ganilla snarled. She was back in human form, standing behind Blitzen, the point of her blazing spear pressed to his throat.
"And the four of you are coming back to Valhalla as my prisoners."
Chapter 57 Sam hits the eject button. Ganilla jabbed her spear tip against Blitz's jugular.
No closer, she warned. Rogues and liars, all of you. You've endangered Midgard and Asgard, roused the giants, caused chaos across the realms.
We also rescued you from a birdcage, I added.
After luring me here in the first place.
Nobody lured you, I said. Nobody asked you to hunt us. Ganilla, Samira placed her axe on the floor. Let the dwarf go, please.
Arr!
Blitzen agreed. The Valkyrie captain glanced at Hearthstone.
You, elf, don't even think about it. Put that bag of runestones on the floor, or I will burn you to ashes.
I hadn't realized Hearthstone was about to make a move. He complied with Ganilla's order, though his eyes blazed. He looked like he wanted to do something much worse to Ganilla than put her in a magic hamster wheel. Sam raised her palms.
We're not going to fight you. Please, release the dwarf. We all know what a Valkyrie spear can do.
I didn't, actually, but I tried to look as meek and harmless as possible. As exhausted as I felt, it wasn't hard. Ganilla eyed me.
Where is your sword, Magnus?
I gestured to the ruined end of the hall. Last I checked, he was taking a bath in a goblet. Ganilla considered that. It was the sort of statement that only made sense in the loony world of the Vikings.
Very well.
She shoved Blitzen toward me. She swept her spear forward, keeping us all within striking distance. The weapon's light was so intense, I felt like it was baking my skin.
We will return to Asgard as soon as my full strength returns, said Ganilla. In the meantime, explain why you are asking the giants about Thor's weapon.
Oh, I remembered Thor being pretty specific about not telling anyone of his missing hammer.
Well, a trick. Sam interrupted. To confuse the giants.
Ganilla narrowed her eyes.
A dangerous trick. If the giants believed Thor had lost his hammer, the consequences would be unthinkable.
Speaking of unthinkable, I said,
Surt is going to release Fenris Wolf tomorrow night.
Tonight,
Sam corrected. My stomach dropped. Isn't it Tuesday? Freya said the full moon was Wednesday.
Which technically starts at sundown on Tuesday, Sam said. The full moon rises tonight.
Well, that's just wonderful, I said. Why didn't you say so?
I thought you understood.
Silence, both of you, Ganilla ordered. Magnus Chase, you've fallen for the lies of this daughter of Loki.
You mean the full moon isn't tonight?
No, it's tonight. I meant...
Ganilla scowled.
Stop confusing me!
Blitzen whimpered as she throttled him with her light spear. Hearthstone edged next to me, his fists clenched. I raised my hands.
Ganilla, all I'm saying is, if you don't let us go so we can stop Surt... I warned you, Ganilla said. Listening to Samira will only hasten Ragnarok. Feel fortunate I found you, rather than the other Valkyries who are hunting you, or your former Inheriar hallmates. They are anxious to prove their loyalty to Valhalla by killing you. I, at least, will make sure you get a proper trial before the Thanes cast your soul into Ginnungagap.
Samira and I exchanged glances. We didn't have time to be captured and sent back to Asgard. I definitely didn't have time to get my soul cast into a place I couldn't even pronounce. Hearthstone saved us. His face became transfixed with horror. He pointed behind Ganilla, as if Geirrod was rising from the rubble. It was the oldest trick in the Nine Worlds, and it worked. Ganilla glanced behind her. Sam lunged with blinding speed. Instead of trying to tackle the Valkyrie captain, she simply touched the golden bracer on Ganilla's arm. The air hummed, as if someone had turned on an industrial vacuum cleaner. Ganilla shrieked. She stared at Sam in dismay.
What have you?
The Valkyrie imploded. She collapsed into a pinpoint of light and was gone. Sam? I couldn't believe what had happened. You killed her? Of course not. Sam swatted my arm. Thankfully, I did not implode. I just recalled her to Valhalla.
The armband?
Asked Blitzen. Sam smiled modestly. I didn't know if it would work. I guess my fingerprints haven't been deregistered from the Valkyrie database yet. Hearthstone rolled his hand. Explain. Valkyrie armbands have an emergency evacuation feature, Sam said. If a Valkyrie is wounded in battle and needs immediate attention, another Valkyrie can send her back to the Halls of Healing simply by touching her armband. She'll be instantly extracted, but it's powerful magic. One use, and the armband melts. I blinked. So Ganilla got yanked to Valhalla. Yep. But I haven't bought us much time. She'll be back as soon as she gathers her strength. I imagine she'll bring reinforcements, too.
Thor's hammer, I said. The storage room.
We ran for the small iron door. I'd like to say I had carefully planned the ceiling's collapse to make sure the door didn't get buried in wreckage. In truth, I just got lucky. Sam's axe cut through the lock in one swipe. Hearthstone yanked open the door. Inside was a closet. Empty, except for an iron pole the size of a broom handle leaning against the corner. Well, I said, that's kind of anticlimactic. Blitzen studied the iron pole.
I don't know, kid. See this rune work? It isn't Mjolnir, but this staff was forged with powerful magic.
Sam's face fell. Oh, Thor's weapon. Just not the right weapon. Blitzen nodded sagely. I agreed. Would one of you tell me what you're talking about?
Kid, this is Thor's backup weapon,
Blitz explained.
The staff was a gift from a friend of his, the giantess Grid.
Three questions, I said. First, Thor has a giantess friend?
Yes,
Blitz said.
Not all giants are bad.
Second, do all giantess names begin with G?
No.
Last question. Thor is a martial artist? Does he have, like, backup nunchucks, too?
Hey, kid, don't diss the staff. It may not be dwarven work like the hammer, but giant-forged iron is still powerful stuff. I hope we're able to pick it up and carry it back to Thor. I'm sure it's heavy and protected by enchantments.
You needn't worry about that,
bellowed a voice above. From one of the high windows, the God of Thunder soared into the room on a chariot pulled by Otis and Marvin. My sword, Jack, floated along next to them. Thor landed in front of us in all his grungy glory.
Good work, mortals!
He grinned.
You found the staff. That's better than nothing. And dude,
said Jack,
I take one quick bath.
I turn around, and not only have you left the room, but you've collapsed the exit. What's a sword supposed to think?
I bit back a comment.
Yeah, sorry, Jack.
Thor reached out toward the supply closet. The iron rod flew into his hand. Thor executed a few thrusts, swipes, and baton twirls.
Yes, this will do nicely until I find that, other weapon, which is not officially missing. Thanks.
I tried to resist the urge to smack him.
You have a flying chariot?
Of course,
he laughed.
Thor without his flying chariot would be like a dwarf without an emergency parachute. Thank you,
Blitz said.
You could have flown us straight here, I noted. You could have saved us a day and a half and several close calls with death. But you let us climb that cliff, navigate a chasm.
I would never deprive you of the chance to prove your heroism,
the Thunder God said. Blitzen whimpered. Hearthstone signed, I hate this god.
Exactly, Mr. Elf, Thor said. I gave you the opportunity to prove your mettle. You're quite welcome.
Otis bleated and clapped his hooves.
Besides, the boss couldn't show up here without his hammer, especially since his daughter was stuck in that birdcage.
Sam flinched.
You knew about that?
Thor scowled at his goat.
Otis, we need to have another talk about you keeping your snout shut.
Sorry.
Otis hung his horns.
Go ahead and kill me. It's fine.
Marvin nipped him.
Well, you shut up. Every time you get killed, I get killed.
Thor rolled his eyes at the ceiling.
What kind of animals would you like pulling your chariot, Thor? My dad asked me. Goats, I said. Flying, reconsumable goats would be great. I could have chosen dragons or lions, but no.
He faced Sam.
To answer your question, yes. I sensed Ganilla was here. I can usually tell when one of my children is nearby. I figured, if you could save her, that would be a nice bonus. But I also didn't want her learning about my missing hammer. That information is a bit sensitive. You should feel honored I told you about it, daughter of Loki.
Sam inched away.
You know about that? Listen, Lord Thor.
Girl, stop calling me Lord. I'm a god of the common people, not a lord. And don't worry, I won't kill you. Not all of Loki's brood is evil. Even Loki himself.
He heaved a sigh.
I kind of miss the guy.
Sam looked at him sideways.
You do?
Oh, sure.
Thor scratched his red beard.
Most of the time I wanted to kill him, like when he cut off all my wife's hair, or convinced me to wear a bridal gown.
Do what now?
I asked.
But Loki made life interesting,
Thor continued.
People got the idea we were brothers, which isn't true. He was Odin's blood brother. Still, I understand how the rumor got started. I hate to admit it, but Loki and I made a good team.
Like Marvin and me, Otis suggested. My therapist says... Shut up, you dolt!
Said Marvin. Thor twirled his iron staff.
At any rate, thanks for this. It will help until I can find that other item. And please, do not mention my loss to anyone, not even my children, especially not them. Otherwise, I'd have to kill you, and I might even feel bad about that.
But what will you do without Mjolnir? Sam asked. How will you...
Watch television?
Thor shrugged.
I know. The screen size and resolution on the end of this staff are pitiful, but I will have to make do. As for you, the island of Lingvi rises from the waves tonight. You must hurry. Goodbye, mortals, and...
Hold up, I said. We need the location of the island. Thor frowned.
Oh, right. I was supposed to give that to you. Well, all you have to do is seek out the dwarf brothers at the Long Wharf in Boston. They will take you to the island. Their boat usually leaves at sunset. Ah, dwarves!
Blitz nodded approvingly.
We can trust them, then?
Oh, no,
Thor said.
They'll try to kill you at the first opportunity, but they do know the way to the island.
Thor, said Sam. Won't you come with us? This is an important battle. The Fire Lord Surt, Fenris Wolf. Surely that's worthy of your attention. Thor's right eye twitched.
That's a fine offer, really. I'd love to, but I have another pressing appointment.
Game of Thrones, Marvin explained.
Shut up!
Thor raised his staff over our heads.
Use your time well, heroes. Prepare for battle, and be at the Long Wharf by sundown.
The room started to spin. Jack the Sword flew into my hand, flooding me with exhaustion. I braced myself against the nearest column. Thor, where are you sending us? The Thunder God chuckled.
Wherever you each need to go.
Jotunheim collapsed around me like a tent falling on my head. Chapter 58. What the hell? I stood alone in a snowstorm on Bunker Hill. My exhaustion was gone. Jack had returned to pendant form around my neck. None of that made sense, but I didn't seem to be dreaming. I felt like I was really in Charlestown, just across the river from Boston, standing right where my fourth-grade school bus had dropped us off for a class trip. Gauzy curtains of snow swept across the brownstones. The park itself wasn't much more than a white field dotted with bare trees. In the center, a gray obelisk rose into the winter sky. After my time in Geralt's fortress, the monument looked small and sad. Thor had said I'd be sent where I needed to go. Why did I need to be here? And where were my friends? A voice at my shoulder said, "Tragic, isn't it?" I hardly flinched. I suppose I was getting used to strange Norse entities popping up in my personal space. Standing next to me, gazing at the monument, was a woman with elven pale skin and long dark hair. In profile, she looked heart-achingly beautiful, about 25 years old. Her ermine cloak shimmered like a snowdrift rippling in the wind. Then she turned toward me, and my lungs flattened against the back of my ribcage. The right side of the woman's face was a nightmare. Withered skin, patches of blue ice covering decayed flesh, membrane-thin lips over rotten teeth, a milky white eye, and tufts of desiccated hair like black spiderwebs. I tried to tell myself, okay, this isn't so bad, she's just like that guy Two-Face from Batman. But Two-Face had always struck me as kind of comical, like, come on, nobody with that much facial damage could be alive. The woman in front of me was very real.
She looked like someone who'd been stuck halfway through a door when a devastating blizzard struck. Or worse, some hideous ghoul who'd tried to transform into a human, only to get interrupted in the middle of the process.
You're... hell.
My voice sounded like I was 5 years old again. She lifted her skeletal right hand, brushing a tuft of hair behind her ear, or the stub of frostbitten flesh that might once have been an ear.
I am hell, she agreed. Sometimes called Hela, though most mortals dare not speak my name at all. No jokes, Magnus Chase? Who the hell are you? What the hell do you want? You look hella bad. I was expecting more bravado.
I was fresh out of bravado. The best I could manage was not running away shrieking. Wind gusted around Hell, lifting a few flakes of blackened skin from her zombie forearm and swirling them into the snow.
Well, what do you want? I asked. I'm already dead. I'm an Inherye. I know that, young hero. I don't want your soul. I have plenty of those already. I called you here to talk.
You brought me?
I thought Thor... Thor, the goddess scoffed. If you want someone who can navigate 170 channels of HD content, go to Thor. If you want someone who can accurately send people through the nine worlds, he's not your guy. So I thought it was high time we talked. My father did mention I'd be seeking you out, yes? He gave you an exit strategy, Magnus. Surrender the sword to your uncle. Remove it from play. This is your last opportunity. Perhaps you can take a lesson from this place.
Bunker Hill? She turned toward the monument so only her mortal side was visible.
Sad and meaningless. Another hopeless battle, like the one you're about to engage in.
Granted, my American history was a little rusty, but I was pretty sure they didn't build monuments at the site of sad and meaningless events. Wasn't Bunker Hill a victory? Americans holding off the British at the top of the hill? Don't fire until you see...
She fixed me with her milky zombie gaze, and I couldn't make myself say the whites of their eyes. For every hero... 1,000 cowards, said Hell. For every brave death, 1,000 senseless ones. For every Inherye, 1,000 souls who enter my realm.
She pointed with her withered hand.
Right over there, a British boy of your age died behind a hay bale, crying for his mother. He was the youngest of his regiment. His own commander shot him for cowardice. Do you think he appreciates this lovely monument? And there, at the top of the hill, after their ammunition ran out, your ancestors threw rocks at the British, fighting like cavemen. Some fled. Some stayed and were butchered with bayonets. Which were smarter?
She smiled. I wasn't sure which side of her mouth was more ghastly, the living zombie or the beautiful woman who was amused by massacres.
No one ever said the whites of their eyes, she continued. That's a myth, made up years later. This isn't even Bunker Hill. It's Breed's Hill. And though the battle was costly to the British, it was an American defeat, not a victory. Such is human memory. You forget the truth and believe
what makes you feel better.
Snow melted against my neck, dampening my collar.
What's your point? I shouldn't fight? I should just let Surt free your brother, the big bad wolf?
I merely point out options, Hel said. Did Bunker Hill really affect the outcome of your revolution? If you face Surt tonight, will you delay Ragnarok or hasten it? Charging into battle is what the hero would do, the sort of person who ends up in Valhalla. But what of the millions of souls who lived more careful lives and died peacefully in their beds at an old age? They ended up in my realm. Were they not wiser? Do you really belong in Valhalla, Magnus?
The words of the Norns seemed to spiral around me in the cold.
Wrongly chosen, wrongly slain, a hero Valhalla cannot contain.
I thought about my hallmate TJ, still carrying his rifle and wearing his Civil War coat, charging up hills day after day in a series of endless battles, waiting for his final death at Ragnarok. I thought about half-born Gunderson, trying to stay sane by earning PhDs in literature when he wasn't going berserk and smashing skulls. Did I belong with those guys?
Take the sword to your uncle, Hel urged. Let events unfold without you. This is the safer course. If you do so, my father Loki has asked me to reward you.
The skin on my face burned. I had an irrational fear that I might be decaying from frostbite, becoming like Hel.
Reward me?
Helheim is not such a terrible place, said the goddess. My hall has many fine chambers for my favored guests. A reunion could be arranged.
A reunion. I could barely speak the words. With my mother? You have her? The goddess seemed to consider the question, tilting her head from the living side to the dead.
I could have her. The status of her soul, of everything that she was, is still in flux.
How? I don't...
The prayers and wishes of the living often affect the dead, Magnus. Mortals have always known that.
She bared her teeth, rotten on one side, pristine white on the other.
I cannot return Natalie Chase to life, but I can unite you both in Helheim if you wish it. I can bind your souls there, so that you will never be separated. You could be a family again.
I tried to imagine that. My tongue froze in my mouth.
You need not speak, Hel said. Only give me an indication. Cry for your mother. Let your tears fall, and I will know you agree. But you must decide now. If you reject my offer, if you insist on fighting your own Bunker Hill tonight, I promise you will never see your mother again in this life or any other.
I thought about my mother skipping stones with me at Hutton's Pond, her green eyes sparkling with humor. She spread her arms in the sunlight, trying to explain what my father was like.
That's why I bring you here, Magnus. Can't you feel it? He's all around us.
Then I imagined my mother in a cold, dark palace, her soul bound for eternity. I remember my own corpse in the funeral home, an embalmed relic, dressed up for display. I thought about the faces of the drowned souls swirling in Rand's net.
You are crying, Hel noted with satisfaction. Then we have a deal?